We're day drinking. We're day drinking. We're day drinking. Day drinking.
Welcome to Day Drinking. This is kind of a spin-off of our normal podcast format where we just talk about whatever comes to mind. We have no plan. We have no script. We have no subjects. We're just kind of shooting the shit and seeing what comes up. So we are going to start off, though, like every episode, and talking about what we're drinking. So, Drew.
Wait, real quick, Travis.
Oh, my God.
Will you check your email?
I just saw something come through.
Yeah, you open that up for me.
It's a dick pic.
It's something about segues.
It's more of a sack pic.
It's a manual on how to better segue. It's 106 pages, and I got it for you.
I don't know.
It references actual
Segway
scooters, but
I love it.
I don't know if that'll help or not, but I just figured
It can't hurt you.
All right.
So I got it pulled up right now too.
It's 106 pages.
Yep. Yep.
I'm going to memorize every
no balls. You won't do it next week. I'll give you 2 weeks. Okay.
Listen. I'm going on vacation here in like.
That's fair.
2 weeks. Because
yeah, the brother's wedding this weekend, right? And then vacation.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going on vacation, and I'm gonna need some light reading for the plane. The 6-hour, 8-hour plane ride.
Yeah.
I've got it now. Thank you.
And soccer season starts this Saturday.
Thank you.
Just for you.
There's that.
I'm all about.
Basic writer optimization PDF. Got it. Basic writer optimization training for Segway. Transporter, I-series, E-series, P-series models.
Wow. There's a lot.
It even gives you the breakdown on the amount of time each segment takes for you to go through. So you
there's
can
a,
really
yeah,
there, plan
there's
it
a,
out.
There's a course overview. God damn it. Well, since you're an asshole, Drew, what are you drinking?
I was gonna do something fun, but it's been a long day, so I'm just drinking tequila and ginger beer.
Yes, I love it.
Keeping it simple.
Yes, queen. Yes,
Rick, what are you drinking?
I'm actually joining you in that keeping it simple variety. I've made a margarita tonight, so cheers, Drew. Cheers, Travis. What you got over there?
I am no longer drinking. Well, currently I'm drinking my Bell's Too Hearted because it's in my fridge in the cave. I'm in the cave for our listeners.
Not the penthouse.
Not in the penthouse. I'm in the cave. But I did make some chicken fajita tacos for dinner with some guacamole. So I had to, of course, make a couple of margaritas before the podcast. So I'm already 2 in.
Naturally.
And now I'm on some Bell's Too Hearted because I'm in the cave and I don't want to have to go all the way back upstairs to. I don't have my pitcher of margaritas like that one time. So I'm just going to the fridge, grabbing beer, opening beer, and drinking beer. So that's where we're at. Gentlemen, we're just here talking. We're just here shooting the shit. Maybe talking about something that grinds our gears. Maybe something that interesting happened. Who's got something they want to get off their chest?
I'm going to jump out there real quick.
Yeah. Ooh, Drew. I love opinionated Drew.
Yeah, I don't know. It's and this is a really small one just to get
it's
us
my
started,
favorite,
off, started off.
It's cold. It's
with the advent of summer coming on and having dealt with this for the last 3 to 4 months, and it's really just it's a tiny annoyance that there's no changing it whatsoever. The getting shocked every time I get out of my car from static electricity is one of my least favorite things, to the point where I now like open my door, get out, and then immediately tap my finger to the door just so it doesn't happen later when I'm walking into a building or something like that, because I do get in and out of my car 12 to, you know, 20 times a day. But that's my one. I hate it.
Mika is always carrying some amount of static electricity. Anytime I go to rubber, it's sometimes it's like little ones. I'm like, oh, this is fine. I'm just kind of getting it out. And then,
yeah, you are.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, you are.
And then other times I get one big shock and I'm like, ah, I mean, ow. That's the appropriate response.
Could be good, both depending on what you're into.
That's fair. So I do feel you. It's, and I assume your car is probably the same where you have the small itty bitty shocks where it's annoying, but every so often you get one that's been charged up where it's like, that kind of hurt. I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, that's why I do the finger tap on the door now, because I don't want that if I happen to lean back on the car or go to touch the door, you know, or go to touch the metal door somewhere else. I know it's going to happen.
Yep, just get it over with.
So immediately just do it as soon as I get out of the car. But from the months of probably about October to probably maybe 2 weeks from now, every time
again. Does anyone know why the static buildup is so abundant in the wintertime? Because I actually don't.
In general, I am probably making most of this up. It's because it's colder. There's less overall moisture in the air. The air is drier.
Okay.
And so the electricity doesn't disband, like overall electricity doesn't disband as much.
I see the logic in that. I can't say if that's true or not, but if that is true, I wouldn't be surprised. I need Hank Green to come tell me why. Hank Green's my boy.
Not prepared for this level of scientific debate this evening.
That might be where we're going.
So if that's... Yeah. I need to go like run a lap, you know, real quick. Yeah.
Do you want an article on Segway?
On a basic Google search from, this is weather.com, temperatures are colder holds less moisture in it, so lower humidity levels, less water vapor, so the air can conduct more electricity.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's crazy that the moisture in the air dissipates so much of the electricity, because I do think it's so much sometimes. Not enough to like obviously shock, like actually electrocute you, but
no,
it's just weird.
You can see a spark.
Yeah. Is there more sparks where there is in drier climates?
I would assume so.
So like, does it just, do people in like Las Vegas get shocked all the time?
Yeah.
Or is that, yes, or is that they're either losing or winning
one
money, so
one more reason not to live there.
Mm. Okay. That was a shocking topic.
Can I? Something I was dwelling on. I wasn't prepared to bring this topic up, but I think it's time we evolve. Can we just
hold on? Are you using the sunstone? The water stone? Are we best friends? How's this working?
You know, the electricity stone? I don't know.
That is a stone.
Because I was going to go email. I don't know. I haven't read your Segway article. I don't know if it works.
I'll send it to you, Rick, as well.
But, like, can we just get rid of mail? Like, hard mail?
We did talk about this.
We did, but briefly.
Like, like, can we be real? Why does that exist anymore? Like,
my only argument was I thoroughly enjoy the walk to the mailbox.
No, I do too. I appreciate it as well. Although, and the main reason I'm bringing this up is I'm getting ready to do my taxes and I have to scan all of these documents online. And I was like, why the fuck didn't we just email these to me? And I wouldn't have to scan. Mm-hmm. I could just drag them over from my internet, my email to my Intuit, whatever software I'm using. But no, I have to drive up to Roswell, use my mother's scanner. Because I don't,
whoa.
I don't, I don't own a printer or a scanner.
Who owns a printer anymore? Yep.
Right.
Rick, it's called an app.
Yeah, I have it. I used to have, well, that's not true. I guess I still have it, but like my credit card, like I lost my wallet and got a new card. So I just never updated my e-scan, whatever app I use for it.
Get a new app.
I mean, I'd like have a new credit card. I would just have to update my credit card. It's all right. I'm taking my dad to Stony River Friday. So that's like the real reason I'm going. The secondary reason is going to stop at mom's house and use the scanner. But
that's funny.
Anyways, but while I'm thinking about it,
you're bundling, Rick. It's fine.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's the other thing. I understand even the point of email.
But the real question is, like, what, and not to cut you off, but I'm cutting you off.
Go for it. Go for it.
Like, what legitimate thing comes through the mail now that couldn't just be switched to email? Like, off the top of my head, I just did my, like, tag for my car. Like, you could have sent the same document to me in an email.
Mm-hmm. But not the tag with the sticker.
Well, no, because you don't get the tag of the sticker first. You get the, here's your bill to go register. Right. Either do it online or at the
that one.
Office.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
but
that
the one with
been
the sticker.
Needs no, correct. Be. But I went, my address was incorrect. So I had to go in person. So I got the sticker handed to me so that you couldn't do, like, obviously there's certain items that couldn't go through email and obviously packages, whatever. But still, like, I don't, as much as I love getting a HelloFresh coupon every week saying, hey, current resident or this person, why don't you try HelloFresh?
Wait, current resident lives at your house too?
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
Damn, they're everywhere.
God, it's insane. Yeah, I do agree. I think obviously the physical stuff that can be mailed should be mailed because at that point it's just a small package.
Right, then it's just FedEx or UPS,
right,
but
that's fine. That makes sense. But as for literature, as one would say, I don't need it in my mailbox.
S3 might say.
Mm-mm. I also think that about holiday cards.
Do people still do that? Like, dude, is that, I know got, some, is that like a normal thing?
I've got 20 holiday cards that Rebecca won't throw away.
God, dog.
She's like, I want to keep them this year. I was like,
why?
I'm about to throw them away if you don't like put them away.
On that note, go ahead if you have more on.
But
that.
Is that? But I guess is the card itself considered? I guess a package or a.
Oh, because why can't you just send that like in an e-card? Because essentially all a holiday card is, or in whatever you want to describe it is, you're sending a family picture to update somebody. Like, here's what our family looks like this year. Mm-hmm. Like, who gives a shit what else it says? Like, that's what you're doing. You're sending a this year picture of your family until you reach the age to where the parents are removed and it's just the kids growing up. And it's like, here's what our kids look like. Like, yeah.
Well, and now there's
just email that or put it on Facebook or IG.
I guess,
or,
five years ago, it would have been on Facebook and now it's Instagram. So what's.
And I guess you want to say like it's a little more personal touch if you're mailing it to like select individuals versus like the e-blast. But yeah, no, just send that email or text or send the text. Like, come on.
I feel the same way about most cards in general, except for like, you know, somebody gets hurt and they recovery. Everyone signs it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
But the general, like, I'm sending this on your birthday. Here's 20 to just Venmo me.
Right.
Or, you know, buy me. So we've talked about gifts before. Just give me the cash and say, hey, happy birthday in a text or call me on the actual phone.
Yeah. Go to Dave and Buster's with us, you know, like, obviously.
Bro.
Travis, right before you go, to tie all kind of three of these together, getting cards from like my auto insurance guy.
Creepy.
Or like, I mean, it's just auto generated and they literally print his signature on it.
Right.
I understand the sentiment. And I sometimes I get a gift card out of it, sometimes, depending on the company or whatever. But for the vast majority of it, it's just a card that says, hey, it's your birthday. Or, hey, you've been a customer for X amount of years. It's a physical card that says this. And I'm like, you could legitimately could have been an email. How about you take $20 off of my
So,
premium this year? Like, I don't.
I went on a technically 2 days, but like a 1 day house hunting trip with a realtor recently. And like we went to like, I don't know, I'm just gonna say 10 houses because it's a round number. And I was like, cool, thank you for showing me. I get a general idea of the value, like running the numbers, current interest rates, blah, 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 blah. I was like, I don't think there's anything I want to pursue right now. Like, I'm going to keep her number. I'm going to reach out to you when things change. But just right now, I'm not doing it. And then she was like, hey, if you really, so I banked through USAA. She's like, if you really want to use USAA, fine. Their customer service isn't great. Here's a couple of people that, from her perspective is what she meant. And she was like, here's a couple of local contacts I have. I was like, all right, fine. Like, I get it. You probably like get a kickback or, something, whatever, but like, I'll give him a call. Like, and I'm like, here's the rate I got through USAA. If you're, if you can beat it, great. So anyways, all that doesn't matter. But, one of the loan officers, I guess, financial managers from a bank, she and the realtor that I hung out with like once, that I'm was like matched with through Redfin sent me a text on my birthday and they're like, hey, happy birthday. And I was like, all right.
Hope you're still looking for a new house so we can get your commission
I
dollars.
was like, all right, well, I appreciate, like we don't need to try that hard. Like we matched through Redfin, aka Tinder, like
I also got when I bought the place that I'm in now, just used a somebody had suggested this one person, like it was okay, it was fine.
Yeah, sure.
Didn't 100% love her, literally just used her for the convenience of it.
So
And
hot.
then after closing, got a physical card in the mail with a $100 Amazon gift card
Nice.
saying, thanks for your business. And I'm like, I legitimately just spent a six-figure amount of money to buy this place. And you sent
Rice.
me a $100 Amazon gift card that's, 0.0001% of the kickback that you or the commission that you got
So
from
here's
selling me this place.
that brings up a question. And Travis, I'm curious, one, if you used a realtor for your current house, and then two, what gift item sentiments you got? Because when I bought the house that I lived in Kansas, the realtor gave
Shut
me,
up.
I have it over here, like
Do it again. Do it
I guess,
again.
yeah, Drew, God, are you that allergic to Kansas? I am too. I
No,
get it.
it's a two sneeze.
He gave me like a, oh my God, I'm blanking. Churches, like pictures, like help me out.
Great church's chicken, church's
No,
grave gravy,
no.
framed picture.
Stop. You know how they have like the stories in like cathedrals and like glass color glass things,
Stained glass.
stained glass, thank you.
We got there in the end.
Thank you. Yep.
Was
Of
it
a
stained glass of chicken?
No, it was a sunflower because
Church's
Kansas
chicken.
and sunflowers. So he's like, hey, here's this stained glass thing. It's a sunflower, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. But I say all that to say, I think I much more appreciated the item versus, as Drew, as you were getting at, like the token $100, whatever. I don't know.
Nope, give me the $100
Give
because
you
I
the
think
$100. All right. I
and
don't
I get
remember.
it and I appreciated it. So go ahead,
Because
Travis.
$100
I
more than I had
don't really
before, but
remember what we got, so couldn't have been much. I want to say it was like a bottle
was
of
it the first
wine.
home picture?
No, it was like a bottle
Probably
of
the big tree.
wine and like some chocolates or something like that.
Okay.
If you told me it was like I bought a nice bottle of wine would be wasted on me.
As
All
me as well.
the treat basket or whatever that came with it, I'll eat it, sure. But would I also rather, I don't know, put $100 towards something I need for the house? Yeah, give me that. That sounds like a great gift for a new homeowner kind of thing. But I don't really remember. I did use a realtor. She was super nice and would probably use her again. We don't want to call her a family friend, but she's my older brother used her to help him find his house, and their daughters were in the same class for a while, kind of thing. So knew of her for a while.
We may be all over the place tonight, but Travis, there's something I really want to get your opinion on.
I want to go back to the mail thing real quick.
Oh, go.
We cut you off a lot.
Yeah. Go. It's all good. Two things.
Drew, you know what I was thinking of?
You son of a bitch. First of all, obviously we can just say that mail is still around because of old people, right? That's a given.
I'm going to say it's because of bills, but I get where you're going for it.
But also, I do think there's a bit of a conspiracy.
Ooh.
Because the United States Postal Service is one of the only, well, I guess it's a service, so it's not something that makes money for, you know, we don't make money. The government doesn't make money off of it because it's a service. I think it's around to either help the government launder its own money, or it just knows it's one of the only services that it can provide that still works at a reasonable clip for the most part. I'm not saying people don't lose their mail, but I think there's like, why else haven't they gone digital? You could hire Amazon. You could hire an outside technical firm to come in and completely digitize all mail very easily. Other than quote packages, and we'd be done with this. It would be over. But no, we still do get the mail, one, because of old people, and two, because I think the government, like, hey, we need to keep some level of person employed. We need a way to launder some money. We need, like, this entity that's been around for 200 years, however long it's been around. That's a number I just came up with off the top of my head. That it's the one of the only things we got left going for us that's people don't hate us for. So let's go with that.
I will say, Travis, on that, I got the chance to talk to a mail person many years ago. And you know those brochures and shit that you get, the coupon books and all that stuff?
Yep.
That's not directly, like, doesn't have your actual address on it.
Yep.
For a lot of those, they're working on quotas. So I zero research on this, but from what they said, they basically, when they pick up the mail and get it all sorted and like go about on their route, they get a box of the shit they just need to get rid of and put in mailboxes randomly, and it just needs to be gone by the end of the day. So my assumption is that they are getting like advertising dollars basically from those companies in, you know, whatever amount.
I can see that. That's a lot less conspiracy, but like still a part of the USPS we don't understand. So I could see that being a thing.
Yeah. They just, you know, you have X amount of mailboxes. This box of random shit needs to be gone by the end of the day. Fill it, if you, you know, put their actual mail in there and then fill it with all the other random coupons and generated things.
Yep. 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 Okay. So that's mail. We were talking about home ownership and what else?
Rick had a new
topic. Question for me.
Yeah, I lost it once we went back to
God
that.
Damn it, Rick. Think of it. I was gonna ask if I go back in the
Blackstone grills.
Oh, the flat tops?
Yes. Like, what voodoo magic did people do to convince us that
you just don't need a pan?
Well, so right, because here we are, because everyone gets Blackstone grills, and I'm tempted to get one, but every time I think about it, I'm like, I could really only cook like three general items. Like, you can't really cook a now again, I no one yell at me, I haven't had one, but I imagine you can't cook a steak very well. Like, in my mind, like, the things that come to mind: breakfast, okay, four, breakfast,
lunch, dinner, dessert.
Well, yeah, no, breakfast items, so like, you know, like eggs, bacon, sausage, those kind of, you know, whatever, pancakes, whatever breakfast items, seafood, veggies, and like hibachi kind of items.
Mm-hmm. It's essentially a,
and like that's
a
it.
Flat top.
Yeah, like
grill, like you'd see
a skillet. Waffle like, House. Give me a skillet, and I can do all that.
So I think one of the quote, because I agree, it's marketing, it's a fad, it's a lot of that, but I do have a quote. I don't know what
I want to be it. Proved wrong.
I have a long stovetop pan. It's supposed to like Ooh. Cover two burners essentially.
Okay.
But it's not good at evenly distributing heat. Whereas I think the Blackstones, the black whatever, the
flat tops. Right, yeah. It's probably as good as that.
Have a good
Yeah.
Mine's not. I think Blackstones are
I get what you're saying.
Probably good at that. And so if you wanted to like actually manage a mass production of food,
sure
it could be good
if limited food, specific food.
You said you could cook a steak on it. It's not going to be,
but it's not going to be good. Like you have to, you have to fillet it. You have to fillet it.
Yeah, it's going to be more like a hibachi steak versus
right. That's what I mean. Like,
and it's going to be skirt steak. It's not going to be a right. But if you're in those situations, if you have a family, or if you have, if you're Dominic Toretto, and you always have family over,
Toretto would not use a Blackstone.
You're right. I know. But if you're in those situations a lot,
yes.
it makes sense. There's a practicality to it. I get it. But like, am I going to go buy it just to have it? No, that's
stupid. But you see, to me, and when you say the practicality of it, like, to me, the only people I have heard talk about it is like, yep, I had my Blackstone. I had people over for hibachi night, like Ben in the picture that we got this leaked last week recently, or their mass cooking breakfast. Like, those are the only, and I get it, like, you can do more things, but the only times I have heard someone excited and like make the Blackstone their central themes have been like, we're having Brenner or we're making hibachi. I'm like, all right, cool. Like,
I do. It is a specialty cooking item. I would agree.
Because don't get me wrong. It makes those two things easy.
My dad has one, and he loves doing hibachi. And seafood.
Seafood would be
and,
good.
And like, you can do like hot dogs and like smash burgers on them.
Yeah, smash burgers, hot dogs.
So to me, it is brats. It is literally the equivalent of like short order cook type food.
What do you have? What do you have?
Exactly. Like shit you're trying to get out fast and that cooks real fast on a flat service, and you're not trying to get the like barbecue or the charcoal thing you would get from grilling.
Sure.
So yeah, it's kitschy, and I get that if you have the expendable income to be able to go for it and you like that sort of thing, then I'm for it.
I would rather... like, don't get me wrong, like I appreciate the people that have like their grill and I don't
their
know what
grill house their grill
yeah but like up, yeah.
Green egg.
Well, that it's the general route I'm trying to go, like smoker. Slow cooker smoker. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, smoker, Blackstone. Like, if you have one of each, cool, got you. Like, more power to you. Have a green egg, have a grill, have a Blackstone, have a smoker. Great. Yeah, like, have all of it. I'm cool with it. It's just whoever said that. Yes, yeah, like, I don't understand like why
I would like, rather like I wish my
it's like long... a boat. I just need a friend who has one. I'm going to come over and use it. I don't want one.
But... I want my long pan to handle like an evenly distribute heat. And that would be a cool thing where it's like, I'm going to take my flat top and put it over my existing burners. Obviously, I've got gas and it wouldn't really work for electric. But like,
sure,
you could make a product like that where I just pop it on. And that way I don't have to have an entire extra appliance just to have a flat top grill when it's just like a long pan. Although I have been thinking of, because I did buy a smoker when I moved into my house, because I want to have more smoked meats.
Yeah.
However, I've come into the classic, oh, I now have kids, I don't have time to smoke meats. I need like a Traeger or something. I know that's cheating from a like,
what you gotta do.
You're right. But if I'm like, I want smoked meat and I don't have time to manage a fire for 12 hours, Traeger seems like a real good option. So I'm not going to buy one anytime soon because I don't have the money for one right now, but that might be something I do when I'm a little older and I can just put meat on grill, set timer, come back in 8 hours and eat smoked meat.
I will. My family is known for like the smoking and a lot of meat product.
Yes.
Going back to like my grandparents and grandparent or great grandparents. And so my dad does have a Big Green Egg and the flat top and a grill. And I will say they do, if you have the time and the money,
go for it.
Yeah, go for it.
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
Because I get to enjoy the fruits of that labor. And the space too, because they do take up a fair amount of space, depending on where you live and what you can use. So
I'm not necessarily anti them. Like if any of y'all want to get me one for my next birthday, I'm not turning it down. Like I'll wheel that baby in. I just don't.
I'm just anti people hyping them up.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes. I don't. Yes. They're overhyped. They're not adequately. If they're adequately hyped, then
fine.
I would be okay with it.
Get it if you want it. Don't get it if you don't want it. Don't tell me about it.
It's definitely not bragging.
Don't try to convince me.
It's not bragging worthy.
Correct.
Like there's certain things that I would consider bragging worthy in the grill world, cooking world, but I say nay to.
And I think, Rick, a lot of the hype is like, you're going to use this every day.
Right. Sure.
Type of hype. Like, no, sure. This is a every 2 weeks. Once a month we have people over and we do this thing. Like it's more of an event,
right,
than it is a daily cooking implement.
Sure.
What else is going on? What else is new? What else is what's the happy haps? My brother's getting married this weekend.
Question? Oh, okay. This is like life questions, not podcast questions.
Well, no, this is the podcast tonight, Danny.
No, you're live.
There are no topics. This
Oh, God.
This is Danny. Outback rules, no rules, just right.
Nice.
Or BK rules, have it your way.
Brother's getting married this weekend. It's pretty crazy. Yep, it's kind of funny because we know he's a non-traditional guy, but we thought that he may have, or we thought this was turning into kind of a traditional wedding. Even though it was supposed to be a courthouse wedding at first. And now it's like, oh, no, there's a venue and there's a hotel and there's someone actually marrying them in a ceremony and a cocktail hour and all this other stuff. But then I asked him,
you that long to get to there's somebody actually marrying him.
Yeah. I asked him the other day, I was like, well, so what are pictures like? When do you want us to show up? Like, are there family pictures? Like, do we have any information on that? And he's like, just gotta show up whenever. I was like, well, no, I can't do that because there's a wedding and I have to be there for the wedding. He's like, oh yeah, show up before that. I was like, okay, that doesn't help. And then apparently they changed the time of the wedding at some point. So the time that was on the actual mailed invitation is different from the actual wedding time. Start time. And then we was like, hey, are you doing the whole thing where like the groomsmen or the people come and get ready with you guys or whatever? And he's like, yeah, just show up whenever. I'm like, dude, that doesn't help. Like, I've got kids. I need a general plan. I don't need specific details. I can work around a loose structure.
Just but there's general enough.
Right now, I've got wedding is at 4:15 at this location, and that's about all the info I got. And I'm like, okay, that's what we're going, and that's fine. We'll make it like work.
Making reservations.
He's trying to segue in his reservations.
That was a good one. That was good. He's been reading the manual.
Lean forward to move forward. Make sure to ensure balance. Rick, Charles, tell us about reservations.
Wait, before we switch over, what are you looking for in your context with the wedding there? So are you wanting to hear like pictures this time, wedding this time, cocktail this time? Like, or are you just, because it sounded like weddings at 4 wasn't enough. What are your expectations?
Before Travis answers.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can answer for him.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. This will be fun.
I
think Travis is looking for.
This would be a fun last call.
Somebody to be in charge so that he doesn't have to assume that role himself. Because I feel like that's something that you just kind of do.
Yep.
In general. But like somebody to be like, okay, here's the photographer. She's going to take you for 40 minutes, 45 minutes to do pictures, and then you need to go stand here, and then you guys will all go in as these couples or whatever, but just anybody to give direction on the day of, so it's not utter chaos and Travis doesn't feel like he needs to step in, even though he doesn't have to.
So it's not quite it, because they do have a day of person, I think. Type, they have a helper person. No. But so again, to kind of recap, it originally started as a courthouse wedding, right? They were just going to be the two of them, maybe my mom, and that was it, kind of thing. And then it evolved into this more traditional style wedding, where if I put my hat on for traditional style wedding, there are a lot of parts that go into that, that me being the brother, I have to know to be there and not be late and have my presence there for whatever my brother wants me to be doing. Sure. And I have none of that information. And if the answer is we're not doing any of that, fine. But like, because it transitioned to this more traditional style, I need to know, hey, we're not doing that, or hey, this is the time I expect you to be here and stand on your mark and say your XYZ, whatever you need to say. So I'm just looking for someone to give me the broad general answer of like, hey man, we're just going with the flow, or hey, this is the plan, this is where I want you. Cause I also don't want to upset the bride. I've been at weddings where like people show up mid vow and it's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, come on. This is not one of those like, oh yeah, get there at, you're not, don't be fashionably late to a wedding, right? That's not okay. So I don't want to be that asshole and be
sure
where I want to be where I'm supposed to be. And then someone tell me what to do if I need to do something, or if I don't need to do anything, tell me I don't need to do anything and I won't do anything.
Hey, real quick. You listening? Cool. Do me a favor. On your app, wherever you're listening to this podcast, there's a button to follow or subscribe or some sort of a notification type bell. Whatever you do, don't click them. Don't click those buttons. Don't do it. Or click it. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Just fine. It's fine. Just click it. It's cool. Just do whatever you want. Preach.
Rick. That brings us to reservations. Let's talk. Ow! Fuck! Stab myself. Go ahead.
So I'm going to tell you the background to this. I'm going to tell you how it played out, and then I'm going to tell you my general expectations, and then you let me know if I'm open to counters. Show me my blind sides. Let me know if you agree or disagree. So, buddy of mine met a girl on a dating app. They never met up. He's now has a girlfriend. And so we have similar types. He was like, and I don't know why he's still talking to this girl, or like they're not, talking is even a strong way to phrase it. They communicate somehow. I was the handoff.
Okay.
He was like, hey, I had this guy, Rick, if you know, buddy of mine, if you want to, you guys may hit it off. If you want to go have dinner. I was like, all right, fine. So we tried to schedule it a couple times. It gets canceled. But anyways, we go, we pick a restaurant and I suggest one. She got COVID or something. She missed it. We were scheduled a couple of times. So she ends up picking the restaurant. I know nothing about the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
She's been there a couple of times, but I'm like, cool. I don't really care. But you know, whatever's easiest to you, we'll go. So we go, it's good. It ends up working out. Turns out we get there. You need a reservation or the bar is first come, first serve kind of thing. So we end up getting a seat at the bar. But it got me thinking, whose responsibility, in your opinion, in that situation, would it be to make the reservation? So the situation is it's a first date kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, one person knows nothing about the restaurant. One person has frequented there multiple times, enough to know if a reservation is required. And so it got me thinking, in my opinion, no matter the situation, save a business sales call, event kind of corporate thing where you would probably have a reservation anyway, it is the person who picks the location the reservation falls under. No matter. And the reason why I'm landing there is because, like, Travis, you and I are going out on a first date. I suggest, like, on a first date, you suggest something easy. And I say easy in the sense of, like, uncomplicated. Like, you typically, you're like, okay, I'm going to pick Outback. I know they don't take reservations.
Hell yeah.
I probably don't need a reservation.
Marry that person now.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, you pick a relatively easy in and out environment. So now if I were to call you, Travis, I'm like, Travis, let's go to this super fancy steakhouse. And I suggest it. It's on me to make the reservation. Right. But like, if you and I are just discussing places to go and Travis is like, I love Barracuda Bob's and I have zero idea what that place is, but I'm like, cool. If you want to go there, let's go. And Travis knows it's reservation worthy. If you don't tell me, like, it's either A, you tell me, hey, we'll need a reservation, or B, you make it. And if we get there and no reservation is made, it is not my fault.
So I'll answer this as, we'll say, a traditional date couple of a man and a woman, because that's the reference I have. It may not work for others, but that's paradigm. I would say it is the... I'm not going to say responsibility of the man to make the reservation, but it's the potential task given to the man to make the reservation. Meaning that if I, as the man, suggest the restaurant, I know it needs a reservation. It is now my task because I know it. I know it.
Correct. Correct.
Right. If the female in the situation suggests this restaurant, and at this point has two choices. One can tell me, one cannot tell me about the reservation. If they tell me that it requires a reservation, it is now my response, my task to do it.
Agreed.
If they do not tell me, it is not my task and it's not my fault that we do not have a reservation. So agreed. It is.
We're aligned far.
No, I don't think there's anything else. That's those three situations. It's one, I know because it's my suggestion.
Correct. Two, if you suggest it, it is on you because assuming you now again, like let's say you Googled something, you're like, this looks fucking great. Like that's a different conversation.
Right.
But assuming you're like, I've been this place before, it's great. So yes, if you have knowledge, it's on you.
Here's
essentially my platform. If you have knowledge, it's on you unless I tell you. This is the requirement to get there.
I would say to make this any relationship-able, It is the responsibility of the suggestioner to make the reservation or delegate as such. And delegate could be like, just inform.
Right.
And the other person would be like, pick up on that. Like, oh, I should make this reservation.
It's your responsibility to communicate. It's needed. You don't necessarily need to make it, but you need to let the other person know, like,
yes,
it's needed. So if everything is neutral and you suggest it and you don't tell me it's needed and I don't make it, it's not my fault.
Correct.
Is all I'm trying to say.
I will say that it's pretty easy to do a little bit of research on any restaurant nowadays and just see if it requires a reservation, and you could probably figure that out real quick. If you are kind of tag teaming, hey, where should we go? But in the situation where like someone's like, no, here's where we're going, it's going to be great, I love this, and you're like, sounds great, cool, I don't need to know anything else. Like, I don't have any dietary restrictions. I don't have any sort of, you know,
I have
preferences.
Two.
Then, yeah, it's on that person. But if it's like, hey, where do you want to go? Well, I don't know where you go. Oh, does this place look good to you? And you're like actively looking at it.
Sure.
Then you should probably look, oh, hey, probably requires a reservation. You should kind of pick up on that.
But no, like, I agree. But that's a different, to me, that's a different setting. And I would like, if it's neutral, like if we both don't know, and like, I would agree, like, you know, taking the traditional approach, like if it's the man dating a woman and kind of thing, like, sure, make the call, check. But I think it's even the same if like the three of us are like trying to figure it out. I'm like, hey guys, let's go to this place. Like, I mean, knowing your personalities, I know you might, but like, to me, the expectation, like if I show up and I'm like, Travis, why the fuck didn't she make the reservation? Like, no.
That's right. Yeah. I meant it more of like, if let's say,
it's, I knew what you meant and I'm aligned.
Yeah. 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 If I know XYZ has a reservation needed and I'm taking you out you and I are going out on a date, and I know, I'm like, we're just spitballing back and forth. Like,
it's the person with knowledge. It's their responsibility. If zero knowledge is shared by the two of us, then...
So here's my scenario, right?
Okay.
You suggest restaurant A. I'm like, nah, I don't really do Italian because I'm a terrible person, which should be red flag number one. But then I suggest restaurant B. We're just, you know, going back and forth. I know restaurant B. I'm just saying, hey, this, I like this one. Do you want to go here? You at that point should be opening the restaurant, looking at the menu, and kind of getting a sense of what it is, kind of doing a little bit of research in it, making a determination whether or not it's a good restaurant for the both of you. Even if I know there's a reservation needed, you could probably pick up on that. And I'm not saying like you have to do that necessarily, but like,
I think there's some places that fall in the gray there.
Yeah, it's a little gray. It could be taken or leaving. That's not how you say that. But
so it sounds like to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like to me you're saying, if doubt, call and ask. Is that?
No, it's more of like, we both know Outback. You suggest Outback. I'm like, I don't like Bloomin' Onions. I'm a terrible person.
Sure.
I come back with restaurant B. I know restaurant what's the steakhouse you're going to?
Stony River.
Stony River. I know Stony River requires a reservation. I'm like, hey, what about Stony River? You've never been to Stony River. Instead of you just blindly saying, yeah, that sounds good, you've never been. I'm the type of person that I'm going to go pull up Stony River.
Sure.
And see, oh, this is a really nice steakhouse. Oh, they're, you know, this is not Outback. This might require a reservation. Whoa. At that point, I might ask the question, hey, does this require a reservation, either to the date or the restaurant itself? So I would use a little bit of, if we're going back and forth, other person says, I want to go here, this is where we're going, and no, I don't have a
let's
say
take,
in it.
Let's take the back and forth approach.
Yeah. I would say if I'm actively looking at it, because I want to have a quote Santa date, because there's some food, Drew, I just edited the pizza tier list episode. You don't like mushrooms, right? Maybe there's a mushroom, maybe it's a vegetarian place that serves mushroom burgers and that's all they sell.
Should burn it to the ground.
Oh, right. You're going to want to see that menu. So if someone suggests, hey, let's go to Mushroom Town, you know, you're going to look at the menu, probably okay. Kind of get usually on Google on your phone, it says make a reservation here. And you're like, oh, this might require a reservation. So you can kind of get that nowadays versus just blindly accepting, yeah, that restaurant sounds good, and going on with your day.
I'm going to weigh in here just a little bit.
I have a follow-up to that after Drew goes.
Yeah.
I agree with both of you for the vast majority of it. I think that just as a general person, again, wearing kind
general
of the...
person.
General person, the, you know, dad hat, or the, like, I just want to make sure everything goes smoothly hat. If you suggest a place to me, I look it up and I see on Google, it's like, hey, do you want to make a reservation? That then is my opportunity to be like, hey, do you want to make the reservation or should I? Just as a general, being a good person type of thing. I don't necessarily think it's like a man or a woman thing, or
general being a good person,
anything like that. It's more making sure that things go smoothly is part of it, and I want to alleviate that if I can. Making a reservation takes 20 seconds online nowadays. But also, I do agree that if the person is like, if you go back and forth and the person suggests a specific place that they've been to before, then it is 100% on them. And I think the sticking point with me is, we haven't really talked about it, if that person were then to either turn it back on you or get mad at you for not having made the reservation, that's a giant red flag.
Yeah,
I agree with that for sure.
Maybe a different conversation that
different
we're not quite getting at, but it's that's kind of where the whole, like, to me it's almost a non-argument of being like, who makes the reservation?
So
because either one of you could, yes, it should be the person who suggests it. If I'm doing my due diligence, I could offer to make it. But at the end of the day, if somebody gets upset about it, it's on the person who had the most knowledge about the place.
Agreed.
I think that's fair. The only small counter I will have is a Mexican restaurant I went to, think El Janinte for y'all's mental
yes.
Thing, is I look up El Janinte on Google, it suggests I can reserve a table. Now, where this illustration falls short is, all of us know El Janinte is not like a reservation place.
Whoa. Whoa.
However, if I've never been there and I see it, because my takeaway from that was, if I Google and I see a suggestion to reserve, I should reserve, is sort of what I took away from there. All things being equal, it was my takeaway. And if I took that away long, let me know. But what I bring it up to say, just because Google or whatever, you know, you're searching, you know, suggests reserve a table, click here, or call ahead, click here. To me, I guess my biggest sticking point is, I'm assuming someone has made the suggestion knowing the place.
Right.
At least someone knows, which is why it was suggested. It wasn't like we were just doing Urban Spoon. We went to Shuffle and it you know, Hooters came up, or like, I've never been to Hooters, what about here? You know, and everyone's surprised, you know? Like, someone suggested because someone's been there. And typically, like, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, and that kind of, if we're taking the date approach, or even like, let's broaden it, like even if it's like a sales call approach, you know what I mean? Like some sort of relationship like that, you're picking something to where you want to remove a variable. So like you're picking a restaurant because you at least know the restaurant, you know what to expect there. So you're trying to take away some guessing from the situation.
Right.
And so like, I'm picking something that's familiar. I've been there before. At least I know what to expect here. So I don't need to worry about like, oh shit. Like, you know, that kind of approach. Right. And so insert sales call or insert like corporate event. You're like, I'm going to go here. I've been here before. I know what to expect. I know how to set it up. I know what I at least in my mind am pretend like sort of anticipating what I think they may like or enjoy, you know, to make this work, close the deal, if you will, no matter how you interpret that. And so, yeah, so I think we're all kind of speaking the same point, mm-hmm. but to me, like if you, Travis or Drew, are the suggester, and even if you think it's the reasonable person standard is I should do my research and follow up with, hey, this place looks fancy. Is a reservation needed, or, you know, whatever. If you're suggesting, having been there, if it's not communicated, like, hey, I think we should go to Outback. However, we should probably make a reservation. You know, obviously doesn't necessarily apply there, but insert your restaurant here. If that's not what's communicated ever, it's not on me. Even if I do research.
So to kind of put a bow on this, I agree that it is not on you. It's not your responsibility, even if you're the one doing the research, whatever, to make the reservation. So I think we're on the same page there. I think it is your responsibility to do your own due diligence.
Sure.
Because you're going to a restaurant and you should probably want to eat the food there. And then
I'll be
maybe...
honest though, a side note, I am not a menu checker beforehand. Ooh. Y'all could, so maybe that's a separate conversation. If y'all enter a restaurant, I'm going to ask what type of restaurant it is. And based off that, I'm going to be like, yes, no. I'm not a menu checker.
I think I'm only a menu checker because of Rebecca's dietary restrictions.
Sure. Makes total sense.
Other than that, I don't really care. But I'll go check it out. I don't think I'm a menu checker. I think
I'm a dollar sign checker on the Google Maps search.
Dollar sign and
is it two or three or five?
Vibe checker? Is that like...
If you explain to me what you mean, I'm probably aligned, but...
Like, is it a dive bar? Is it a chain restaurant? Is it a classy restaurant?
Yeah,
is
but
it,
you can kind of get that from like the... Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I go look at the pictures. I'm not looking at the reviews. I don't care.
I won't even do that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very opposite people.
Yeah, I'm not doing like complete top down.
I get what you're
review,
saying.
But I'm gonna give it a once over. Like, oh yeah, this actually looks kind of cool. Versus a cool, sure, whatever you want. It's very high level, surface level.
I am taking whatever picture shows up when you Google it on Google Maps. That first picture is all I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, is this a strip mall or a standalone? Or
I think we're still kind of framing this on like a either, you know, first or like,
yeah, it's about
initial
a
date time.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Intro. Yeah. Yes.
So yeah, I do a little bit of that. And just very quickly, I'm of the very opposite mindset of you guys. I deep dive on anything, any restaurant I go to, because I love food and I love going to cool places, you know, fancy or dive or whatever. But I like to look at the menu. I like to see if there's specials. I like to see if there's, you know, reviews.
Sure.
That are recent, that are, you know, about how terrible the kitchen and I found a cockroach, that type of thing. So I actually like doing all of that type of stuff. Does it mean I won't go there if I don't necessarily love what I'm seeing?
Sure.
No, but you know, it's just that's just something that I do like to do. But yeah, for an actual first date, I just don't I don't necessarily think that's like, if we're still talking about reservations, it's not on me to, even if I do all of that research at the end of the day, it's not on me to be like, hey, this has $5 signs on it and we're going on a Friday night. Should one of us make a reservation? If you suggested it, then it's on you.
I have a random new last call based on the Eminem outbreak. it's granted, we can only do it if Danny's on the call, but it's how do you get Danny involved in the convo? We all go around and just throw out outlandish things and see if we can get Danny to say something, wait, what?
So ridiculous that Danny has to be like,
has to contribute.
The actual fuck.
I don't like cheese.
Fuck.
Got him.
Yeah.
I love cheese. That's not true. I lied.
I play that game.
That is a good game. We can do that now or later.
I only use jarred garlic.
Do you want to say my now and laters? Is that what that was?
Yes. Yes. Please. Rick, where are the now and laters? Please. For those of you on just listening, Jesus.
I'm so happy. So much.
Jesus H. Basie.
I'm so
what?
Happy. I honestly, Rick, this is a like off the podcast. We don't have to put this in there.
No, it's in there.
No, yeah, we can't.
So we did our annual like slutty party thing at work last weekend, and the last 2 years I dress up and I have a fanny pack and just full of
just
either
the fanny
like
pack?
Just now and lately it's yes! Like 80s themed, so I always have like a 80s theme, and then I have a fanny pack full of just shit to like throw to people. And I looked for now and laters and I could not find them.
You got to worm it off Amazon in the tub.
I had to settle for Starburst, which admittedly not bad. Delicious. Not the same.
Not now and laters.
Not the same.
No.
So for those of you guys listening, Rick decided to order a
shit ton of candy.
Head-sized jar of now and later candy. I can today and
60 ounces of now.
I don't think I've seen him more cheese puff happy can. In his life, and that includes his first marriage.
It's true. I would have been happier to see this walk down the aisle.
I walked down the aisle. That's
I know.
That
I
was the most beautiful. Happy. Yeah.
That picture of me kissing you while you're in full military garb is still one of my favorite pictures on the earth.
Best ever. I started that trend. Do you guys know that other people did that after me?
I do know that.
And I'm so mad I didn't get credit for it.
You get credit for it here.
I know.
Tonight.
I know.
The 21st of February.
I know. And I'm sure I'm not the first. I'm sure I'm not the
no,
first
you were.
Person.
You
okay.
Were.
I was the first. I think it was the most spontaneous for sure. Because
The others were definitely very planned.
Do you know the story? Do you remember? Did I tell you like how it all kind of transpired?
I don't know the story, but I still have the video that was recorded from that perspective, and so
okay.
I can kind of piece it together.
Yes. Okay,
you know, she's coming down the stairs, and like you reach out.
Wait. Yeah. And literally, I think it was in that moment is when I decided, like, I had the idea. It wasn't like a
wasn't pre-planned.
Nope. It was spur of the moment. This would be hilarious if when Rick turns around
and it,
to see
it
his bride for the first time, it was me.
And it was beautiful. And in that moment, we should have married. And
I think we did.
Yeah, you're right.
There were witnesses.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't know the conversation or all that because I don't think the video has sound. Or if it does, it's just a bunch of her.
You get it. You get it. That's fine.
But yes.
My fucking phone fell underneath my seat while I was driving. Fuck you.
He had to listen to the entire thing without being able to answer.
I was like, I can't say anything. And I need to also not crash this car. Fuck. So much happening.
I thought you were in an Uber.
Yeah.
I was in an Uber. I got home and then I went and picked up dinner. So now I'm home and now we're all leaving. So I'm going to go eat dinner.
Wait, you went to pick up dinner to leave French? To eat dinner?
Yeah. I got home to leave to pick up dinner to come home to eat dinner, yes.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. You're not leaving to eat dinner. Okay.
Correct.
You're leaving here to eat dinner. You're not necessarily leaving to eat dinner. All right.
Yes, I'm eating dinner in my household.
All right. I'm back
of sorts.
And just think wine is overrated.
Yeah, it's really not that
good. You shut your mouth.
I mean, Bullet's just the worst.
So. Goddamn, hey, Rick, I was just about to say that. I was literally about to say something about Bullet.
Good last call, guys. That was fun.
Good last call. Love it.
Getting personal for no reason.
That was the last call. For our listeners, please or don't
like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. There's a button. If you're listening to this, if you open the app, there's a button that says subscribe.
The actual fuck.
App. You can subscribe or you can like the episode or you can like the entire podcast or you can share the podcast. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. Or if there's nothing you want to do, you could also do nothing. That's fine, too. We also have TikTok. We have a YouTube. We have an Instagram. We have a Twitter @_barbanter. If you're not already following us on those platforms, you should. New episodes come out weekly. What else? There's a link in the description if you want to support our bar tab so we can... buy alcohol and buy new equipment and maybe even do a live show one day. That'd be really cool, but we need some help. And just remember, this is our podcast and you're just along for the ride. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Stay drinking.